Turn to Romans chapter 8 again. And let me read probably the first 10 verses. Now, I will not deal with all 10 verses by any means. I've actually already dealt with the first four in some detail, but I will mention some of them again. Romans 8, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh," that's our flesh, "God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh." He was absolutely flesh, but He did not have sinful flesh. And we need to make that clear. Scripture's clear on that. Our Lord was impeccable.
Yes, sir.
He could not sin. But it says, "in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us."
Yes.
Not by us.
Yeah.
The righteousness of the law is never fulfilled by us.
Amen.
It is impossible that we fulfill the righteousness of the law.
Amen.
But the law can be fulfilled in us.
Yes.
Who, Scripture says, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, that is, hatred against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh.
Exactly.
Right there's the answer. These people run around and say, well, this is talking about a carnal Christian as opposed to a spiritual Christian. That's, as a matter of fact, that's a misnomer. Now, there are carnal Christians.
Yeah.
But they're still, at the same time, spiritual Christians.
Yeah, that's right.
Because no one is a Christian who is not a spiritual person.
Exactly.
You cannot be a Christian and not be a spiritual person. The problem is, most people don't know. They got the wrong dictionary when they're trying to define these words.
Yeah.
That's their problem. No, Paul says of these people, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." Right? "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now, the reason he says "if so be" is because Paul, even writing inspired Scripture, was not omniscient. God did not let him know, all right, now that individual and that individual and that individual at Corinth or at Rome, they really have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that one there and that one there and that one there, they're not one of the elect. Paul was never afforded, Mason, such wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah.
So even being inspired, he still must write, "if so be, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And if Christ be in you, now listen, it's an odd statement. And it's certainly a statement that most people, especially religious people, especially professed Christians, that is people who profess to be a believer in Christ, but they've never actually been there. God's never brought them there. They can't comprehend this. Listen to what it says. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin." Now, this is after Romans chapter 8, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You remember we've talked about how some people talk about getting out of 7 into 8 as though you can leave 7 behind? Wait a minute. Here's chapter 8,
mm-hmm.
verse 10, right?
Yeah.
Which comes after the truth of chapter 8, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, mm-hmm. verse 4. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." And I say to most folk, not to you, but to most folk, go figure that out for yourself.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because why I may define that in terms or in words, no one can truly relate to it unless they've been there.
Amen. That's it.
They won't understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
The question I want to try to answer, well, I shouldn't put it that way. I don't even have it here as a question. It's a statement.
Yeah.
Because I don't know whether I'll answer it or not. But what I want to try to deal with is this, walking after the Spirit. Yeah. What does that really mean? Mm-hmm. You know, I can be, as I was going to say, God's people, and that's probably true, but I can be very cynical. And I have some reason to be very cynical because I have heard men lie and had men lie to me all my life.
Yeah.
And since I was old enough to begin to comprehend language, I have been lied to. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until about 21, 22, or maybe 23, 24, 25 years ago, whatever it was, it wasn't until just then, just recently, as far as in time of all that it's been, not just my life, but in time, it's just been recently that I've actually had someone stand before a place like this and tell me the truth of God.
Yes, sir.
Without concern as to whether people would get mad or not. And that was Earl Cochran. Most people, when they begin to talk about walking after the Spirit, I become automatically very skeptical. All right, I wonder where they're going to go with this.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Maybe that's what you're thinking. I wonder where he's going to go with this. Now, the three words, before we go into detail, the three words I want to examine briefly first. And they're the three major words here. And they're all in this statement except for one, but it's included in the truth. We're talking about walking after the Spirit. The three words are walk, after, and mind.
Yeah.
Now, the word Spirit, it's a give me. I'm not even going into this. There's the Spirit. It's not some ethereal being.
No.
It's not some unfleshed entity.
No.
We're talking about the Spirit of God Almighty. We are talking about God Almighty Himself.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I'm afraid that even us, and especially because sometimes it's been butchered, that we who hold to the Trinitarian doctrine of God, that is Father, Son, and Spirit, sometimes in our language separate God out when we shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We think these different thoughts that we shouldn't be thinking, but be that as it may. The three main things here is walk and after, and then the word mind. Yes. First of all, the word walk. It means to tread all around. Now, that's important. In the to tread all around. It doesn't mean to tippy-toe.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot of people's Christianity is tippy-toe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just touch certain spots, David.
Mm-hmm.
But for the believer, our whole life is consumed, caught up with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, maybe our whole walk is not conducive to honor that truth, but nevertheless, all of our walk, whether it's being led of the Spirit of God, or whether at times maybe we may walk in the flesh, and I said in the flesh, not after, but walk in the flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Still yet, Mason, we can't get away from the fact that God Almighty Spirit is within us, and He leads us, and guides us, and directs us,
amen,
as
amen.
We will see later. The word walk here means to tread all around. It means to live. This is the different ways it is sometimes even translated in the King James Version. To tread all around, to live, to deport oneself, to maintain a certain way of life.
Yes.
That's a walk, right? Mm-hmm. To maintain a certain way of life. It is a present active word. That's an indicative, but that really is not going to give it anything other than this. I want to see it is a present active thing. People always thought, well, I got saved back then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the truth is, I am being saved right now.
Yeah.
And most people, when they think of salvation, they think of a conversion event.
Yeah.
And especially the initial conversion event. But even according to Scripture, we have many conversion events.
Amen.
Right? Peter, no doubt, David, was initially converted. But remember, he failed miserably, didn't he? And our Lord told him, when you're converted.
Yeah.
But He didn't say, when you're saved. Why didn't He say, when you're... Now, wasn't that a salvation? Wasn't that deliverance that Peter experienced? Certainly. But our Lord is distinguishing here.
Yes, sir.
When you're converted, you feed your brethren.
Right?
When you're converted, you feed your brethren. Think about it, this is a present active word. It's, we never used to walk that way. We always walk this way. Somebody said, you mean always? Yeah, I mean always. Always. Without fail, we cannot but, if we are after the Spirit, we cannot but walk after the Spirit. They that are after the Spirit do what? Mind the things of the Spirit. It doesn't say they sometimes do. They will if. There are no ifs here. You're either in one place or you're in the other.
Exactly.
There is no tiptoeing. There's no jumping back and forth.
Yeah.
It's to tread all around. It's to live. It's to deport oneself. It's to maintain a certain way of life. And it's present and it's active. This is not just, all right, I'm going to stand here, and when God wants me to do something, it'll happen. Exactly. And you know what? It will.
Yeah.
The problem is, he may have to boot you between the cheeks.
Yeah.
But he's going to make you move.
Sir.
He ain't going to just pick you up and move you over here. He's going to make you get up and walk.
That's right.
You may have your tail tucked between your legs when you walk, but you will walk.
Yes, sir.
You will move. You will act.
Yes, sir.
Right? Well, I'll just wake up in the morning and everything's going to be all right. No, you ain't going to just wake up and everything's going to be all right. You know, there's things that we walk. It's a walk.
Exactly.
All right? That's what walk means. Now, the next word, after. It's a preposition. That helps out a whole lot. I don't even know what that means unless I look in the dictionary. The word after, it simply means this, according to.
Yeah.
According to. In other words, let's read it here, and let me find the place here. Verse 5, the word after, for they that, what, are after the flesh.
Uh-huh.
What do they do?
They
mind the things of the flesh.
Exactly.
But they that are what? After. They that are according to the Spirit. What do? They mind the things of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. To walk after means to walk according to.
Yeah.
And remember, I mentioned this several weeks ago. There's a difference between walking after and walking in.
Amen.
Walking after, as I says, according to, implies that a sense of cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually defined in verse 14. This cause and effect, this walking after, this walking according to. It's the Spirit does move us.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It must take... It demands that the Spirit calls the action.
Mm-hmm.
But when He does move, then we act.
Yes, sir.
We actually do something. For He says in verse 14, for as many as are what? Led by the Spirit. They are the sons of God.
Yes, sir.
And as the whole context here is, if you're not led by the Spirit, then you're not a son of God.
Exactly.
You might be one of the elect of God. But you've never been adopted into the family and experienced Abba, Father. That's a son of God.
Yes, sir.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, it doesn't say they are the elect of God. Election has nothing to do with anything but God Almighty's choice.
Amen.
Period.
God.
Neither having done any good or evil.
Yeah.
Right? But here we see, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. These people walk after. They walk according to the Spirit. Now the third word is the word mind. It means to be mentally disposed to. To interest oneself in something or another. Something or some person or whatever.
Yeah.
To be mentally disposed to interest oneself in. In other words, according to chapter 5, for they that are after the flesh do what? They interest themselves in the things of the flesh.
Yes, sir.
They are mentally disposed toward the things of the flesh.
Yeah.
Okay? They cannot be but that.
Yeah.
Right? But they that are after the Spirit, and then it don't say they mind, but it's there. It's there implied in the wording of whether it's in the Greek or the English. They mind. They're mentally disposed to. They interest themselves in the things of the Spirit. Right? That's what it means when it says that. They mind the things of the Spirit. It means to be inclined to something or to purpose to do something.
Mm-hmm.
to be swayed toward a certain way or a certain thought or a certain mindset. We read it also. Let me try to read it that way in verse 6 and 7. Now it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." That's okay. It doesn't destroy the meaning of the text, but it doesn't quite get it. It separates for to be carnally minded. Yeah. Well, let me just put it. Here's what it actually, how it actually reads in English, verbatim from the Greek. Verse 6, "For the mind of the flesh, death."
Yes,
there's no "is" there, but "is" is okay. But for the mind, we read, "For to be carnally minded is death."
Mm-hmm.
But in the Greek is, "For the mind of the flesh, death."
Amen.
But the mind, now here's the kicker, here's the thing. But the mind of the Spirit.
Yes.
That kind of changes it just a little, right?
Yeah.
It's not just to be spiritually minded, but it is to have the mind of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Because my mind, mm-hmm. what I am,
yeah.
what Walter Pendleton is what? Spiritual? Huh? Flesh.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That which is born of the flesh is, remains, and will always be what?
Flesh.
You see, if there is anything spiritual in me, and we call it a mind, it is not mine, it is God's.
That's right.
You remember what Paul told the Corinthians
when
he talks about the difference between the carnal mind, the man, and the spiritual man?
Mm-hmm.
He said, but we have the, talking about God's people, the spiritual,
mm-hmm.
regenerated people. He said, we have the what? The mind of Christ.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. With my mind, Paul says, I serve what? The law of God. But what mind is that? Is that the natural mind somehow rejuvenated, enabled? No, the natural mind still just as wicked and vile as it ever was. This is this mind of the Spirit of God in us.
Amen.
In us. For to be carnally minded is death. That's okay. I mean, it doesn't totally destroy it, but it doesn't quite get it. Again, I say, for the mind of the flesh, death. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace.
Amen.
And then we read, let me say it, where it says, because the carnal mind is what? It is an enemy of God. And as we read it, it is enmity against God.
Yes, sir.
And everybody who thinks, but I truly love God.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not realize that what they are by nature and who they are by nature, that they actually hate God, they've never been here.
Yeah.
Probably, one of the problems is they've never seen who God really is. They still think they know who God is. And the way man makes God out to be is according to Scripture, and it's a universal truth. It cannot be changed. Man makes God out to be like himself.
Exactly.
That's why man, when he forms a God, when he makes one he can see out of wood or stone or whatever, he makes it look like something that's in the created world.
Oh yeah.
Because he wants his God to be like him, a creature, a created thing. Scripture says God is spirit.
Yes, sir.
You see, the truth of God, who God really is, we and who we really are, we hate that.
Yeah, that's it.
It says, because the carnal mind is usually enmity against God.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes can be enmity in God. It may rise to enmity against God. Ain't what it says? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Well, somebody might say, well, but I've heard the truth. I love that truth. That's because you have the mind of the Spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's because of the Spirit of God with you and also now in you.
Amen. Exactly.
Because it says that no man can call Jesus Christ the Lord. No man can say that he's come in the flesh apart from what? Or from who, I should say?
Yeah.
The Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Spirit of God. So then, we see from Romans chapter 8 that walking after the Spirit means, okay? Here's a, I'm going to give you a definition. Those who maintain a certain way of life, being inclined to interest themselves according to the lead of the Spirit. The Spirit having first given them life based upon the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. And it is stated that way. Not in that order, but it's stated that way right here. There's a people who can say, even in light of what they are by nature, there is therefore now no condemnation to me. I am not condemned. My conscience bears witness, not of me, but of God and His work in Christ. And is that just God lets me go? Is that just God says, well, I love them so much, I let their sin go? Uh-uh. It says, why can we say this? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That in that we are totally passive. There is nothing we can do to get life or to cause God to give us life. Those who are born of God are that, born of God. Not of the flesh, not of the will of man, that includes themselves. Nor, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man.
Amen.
It doesn't matter who or what your parents are. It doesn't matter what you think or what you want. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or what anybody else wants.
That's right.
God births into His family those He's pleased to birth into His family.
Amen.
Period. They are born of God.
That's it.
No man can see nor enter the kingdom of God except be what? First be what? Born again. That's in all of those words. All of that whole thing is totally, absolutely in the passive when it comes to man.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, you've got to do, if you'll just believe God, you'll be born. And they usually say, borned.
Yeah.
By God, I'm countrified, but I ain't that stupid. You don't get borned, you're born.
That's right.
And somebody says, what does it really matter? Well, what if I tell you 2 + 2 = 3? Well, we both know it's actually 4, so what does it really matter if I keep saying 2 + 2 = 3?
Exactly.
Right? Really don't matter because we know 2 + 2 = what? What is it really? It's 4. But it's all right. Don't really matter. We can say 2 + 2 = 3. It's kind of stupid, ain't it? Well, see, when we say, well, what does it really matter what words we use? Because words is all we have to express to one another what we really mean.
Yes, sir.
That's all we have.
Exactly.
You know? Our emotions often lie on us, or we lie through them, or with them, you know? And we can do that with words as well. I understand that. But words is all we have to truly communicate to one another the truth. That's all we have. No, it's life. It's life from God. We're given life sovereignly by the Spirit of God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's made me free from the law of not just death, but also what? Sin. Now, is it, again, I ask the question, does God then just let my sin go? Does He just say, well, I love that group so much, I'll just look over their sin. These other folks, I'm going to cast them into the lake of fire. Well, somebody's going there, right?
Yes, sir.
This book says so, right?
That's right.
I mean, if we believe the book, it says that there's going to be a great multitude, small and great, who's going to be cast into the lake of fire, right? Now, they're going to go there because of their works. What it says, right? It says they'll be judged according to their works.
Yes, sir.
My only hope is that God has already judged me in Christ.
Amen.
Because if He judges me according to my works, I will split the lake of fire wide open.
Exactly.
I will hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you.
Exactly.
If my foundation is based upon that, my works, it's based upon sand. It's on sandy soil. It won't stand the test of God's righteous judgment.
Exactly.
But if my house is built upon the rock Christ Jesus, the storm can blow, hell can rage, the law can cry out, it's justice and righteousness, it's been satisfied in Christ.
Amen.
How do I know that? For what the law could not do because of us, because of our inability, because of the weakness of our flesh. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for what? Sin.
Yeah.
Condemn sin in the flesh. It's done with.
Yeah.
Hebrews 1 says, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down.
Yeah.
You ask most folk, when were your sins purged? Well, when I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm sorry, if that's what your hope is, you're a goner. Because either your sins were purged some odd 2,000 years ago, or they'll never be purged at all.
Exactly.
Whatever sins have been purged were purged prior to his sitting down.
That's right.
And it says he now sits at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
And there's only one instance I know of in Scripture when he did not sit there, and that's when Stephen was being stoned, and he saw Christ standing, didn't he?
That's right.
And all the other time he's evidently David sitting there. Right? I don't know. That's all I know from the book.
Yeah.
But he sits there. Now, when was my sins purged? If you look for security, if you look for safety, if you look for no condemnation, don't look to anything you've done. Not your believing, not your repentance. Look to Christ.
Amen.
Look to Christ. Don't say, I'll do better next time. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. Well, I'll never make that mistake again. Well, you've already lied when you said that. You might not have known any better, but you've already lied.
Oh, yeah.
I've said it before. We learn by our mistakes. Rarely.
Yeah. Yeah, rarely.
Rarely.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe on occasion, but rarely. You know. Generally, I figure we learn more by our mistakes than we do apart from them.
Yeah.
Or without making them. So I guess we're starting to talk a little. What does it mean to walk after the Spirit? Well, again, I say it is those who maintain a certain way of life, being inclined to interest themselves according to the lead of the Spirit. The Spirit having given them life based upon the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But here's the question. Why does God give this life? Now not physical life,
yeah,
but this spiritual life. Why does God give spiritual life?
Yeah.
Our Lord prayed why? John 17, verse 1 through 3. And his phrase is this. This is the phrase. This is the words he used. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's why God gives spiritual life, because apart from that, we can't know the one true God. We may read this Bible, we'll come up with a God of our own imagination. Men and women are doing it all over. They're preaching it this morning. A God from this book, but it's still the God of their imagination.
Exactly.
It's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why God gives life, so that we can know Him. Because to know Him is to know all that needs to be known. I mean, we may miss out on a lot of other things, David, but bless God, if we know God, we got enough.
Oh, yeah.
We don't deserve that.
That's it.
And this is. He doesn't say, here's how to get life eternal. He says, and this is a life eternal, that they might know thee. Life is given so that we can know.
Amen.
Therefore, if I do know God, I have reason to believe, based upon Scripture, Ellen, that what? I've been given life. And as Joe said, you go out here and talk to some folk. You'll find out who has life and who don't. Now, can you say for sure? I mean, can you see the heart? No. No, you can't. Sometimes we all, if put on the spot, may veer away every once in a while, right? May not quite say what we know in here we ought to say because of fear or whatever reason. But generally, the fact is, you can talk to somebody and you'll find out if they have any idea who God really is or not. I don't just mean a couple sentences, but you get to know somebody. You talk to that person. You have some idea whether they know God or not.
Yeah.
And if a person has life, they're not given life so they can go to heaven. They're given life so they can know God.
Amen.
The only true God and the Son,
yeah,
whom He sent. Because you can't know the one true God unless you know the one He sent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know the one He actually sent, you'll begin to know the one who sent Him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's what He taught, right?
Yes,
and you can't know one without the other. Because the fact is, if you know one, you know the other.
That's right.
Because they're one.
That's right. Exactly.
They're one. That's why the Spirit gives life. But what is the, in this giving of life to know God and to know His Son, what is the Spirit's primary instruction? We know it's concerning who God is.
Yeah.
And men put it this way, it's a fine statement, to know God in the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Paul puts it this way, that we might see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the way he puts it.
Yeah.
But our Lord told us of this primary instruction by the Spirit. It's in John chapter 16, mainly verses 1 through 15. And I don't have time to read through all of them, but I can sum it up this way, and you examine my words to see if I'm telling you the truth. When he has come, he will guide you or lead you into all things. And he says that things are truth.
Yeah. Yes.
And Christ said of the Spirit, when he's come, he's the comforter. I got to go away. Because if I don't, he won't come.
That's right.
And he's got to come because he will guide you into all truth.
That's right.
And what he's going to tell you, what he's going to make you to know, what he's going to teach you are things concerning me.
Amen.
That's things concerning Christ.
So
a person says, I got the Spirit of God, and all they're doing is hooping and hollering, throwing up their hands and speaking in gibberish, they're an idiot.
Amen.
They're not just deceived, they're an idiot.
Yep.
A person who has the Spirit of God knows the Son of God.
Amen.
Is concerned with the Son of God. Interests himself or herself in the Son of God. Is mindful of the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if they know Calvinism.
Yeah. That's right.
He didn't come. He didn't give eternal life so that we can know the 5 points.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly
now, knowing the 5 points are good.
Yeah.
They're sound doctrine. Yeah. They ought to be known.
Yeah.
But you can know God and not know them five.
That's
right. Yep. I believe after a while, you'll begin to know them, whether you know them as five or not. You'll begin to see them. But that's not the point. The point is, none of us know anybody in all they are right off the bat. You know that? Our Lord said of the Spirit to the disciples, he's going to guide you into all truth. But does that mean the disciples, the who later were called the apostles, did that mean they knew everything? Huh? You remember Peter down there, don't you, when them Jews showed up from James? Huh? Did he know everything? He certainly didn't practice it if he did he?
Nope.
But you know what what we're talking about? You'll know all things. We're talking about all the areas of God. Everything. Who is God? What has God done? Who is man? What does man do? You see what I'm saying? That's what he's talking about.
Amen.
The Spirit's primary instruction is this, to tell the truth.
Yes, sir.
You can sum it down to that phrase right there. Mm-hmm. To tell the truth.
Yeah.
Now, here's the question. Most people, I won't say all, because I know it's not all. I say most because the Scripture says there are many that are on the broad way.
Oh, yeah.
And there are few that are on the straight narrow way. Therefore, that's why I say most. Because many is more than few. Many has to be most or it'd be 50-50, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Simple arithmetic, right? Mm-hmm. Most folk, when they think about walking after the Spirit, they think of this, morality. Walking after the Spirit is a moral person. Well, let me just say, morality does not equal spirituality.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
A person may be a moral person and still be a God-hater.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, a person may be a moral person and still have no idea who God is or who they really are by nature in Adam. As a matter of fact, you read Matthew chapter 23, mainly verses 25 through 33.
Yeah.
Our Lord told those Pharisees, they were immoral people, outwardly.
Yeah.
He told them, you cleanse the cup and the platter. You clean up the outside.
Oh, yeah.
They ain't nobody can point at you and say, you did that wrong, you did this wrong. But you know what their problem was?
Yeah.
They were dirty. And they were full of dead men. They were whited sepulchers. Painted graves, but inside was full of rot and stink. Inside, Christ said, you're full of excess and extortion.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you, I know a lot of moral people.
Yeah.
And outside, outwardly, I can't accuse them of anything. But I know by nature what they are inside here.
Yeah.
And they say, well, but I'm inside like I am outside. They're deceived. If they say that, they're deceived.
That's exactly right.
Our Lord makes it clear again, Matthew 23, 25 through 33. It's there. Anyone can read it for themselves. It's not morality. Morality does not equal spirituality. Some of the most, I say most, some, there are spiritual people who are far less moral than natural people. That's right. We can pick a few out. We can give a few examples. How many people do you know that if God would have killed the whole human race except for themselves and seven family members, as soon as it was all over, would build a vineyard and get drunk?
That's right.
Exactly. Now, we might say that's a nice celebration. Right? It'd have been all right if he'd just celebrated, but he didn't just celebrate. He got so stone drunk, he passed out in his tent, and his son came and done things to him.
Yeah.
That's going a little too far, don't you think, David? I read of another man called David, the king of the Jews. Wasn't he? There's some things he would... Morality?
Yeah, exactly.
I read of a man called Lot. I read of a man called Abraham that lied about his wife being his sister. Or lied about his wife. Lied that this is not my wife, it's my sister. We all learn by our mistakes, right? What'd he do? Turns around and does it again.
That's exactly
right. Now I tell you what, I'd rather be with Abraham than I would be with Balaam.
Yes, sir. That's it.
And here's the thing. Point out the particular immoral sin Balaam did.
Yeah.
Balaam's sin was in here.
That's it.
What he said and what he actually did was all right.
Yeah.
But it was what he wanted to do in here.
Yeah.
In here. And eventually it came out on him. Eventually. Well, it's not morality. It's not even religiosity. That's a word. I don't know whether that's even a word or not. It's not being religious.
Yeah.
You know, there. Think about it. Here are people who care about God's law. Here are people who care about the Scripture. Here are people who like to have respect for others and give them titles. You know, respectful titles. Pastor this and elder so and so and brother this and sister that.
Yeah.
You know? And they pray long, sincere, hard prayers.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about just a couple line ditty. I mean, these folks pray. They win souls.
Yeah.
And they tithe. Mm-hmm. By God, that's pretty religious, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's more than I do.
Yeah.
That's more than I do. But our Lord in Matthew 23, again, verses 1 through 24, condemned every one of those things.
Yes, sir.
You know that? Every one of those things. Because it was outside of the realm of truth. He told his disciples, these people I'm talking about, he said, woe unto you! How shall ye escape the damnation of hell?
Yeah.
That's what he said about these people who love the law, the Scriptures, titles, prayer, tithing, soul winning. He said, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell?
Exactly.
And he told his disciples, he said, you listen to what they tell you to do. If they're telling you from God's book, you listen, but don't you do what they do.
That's right.
You see that? No, it's not being religious. Oh, what about it's sinlessness? What about not sinning? You know, I'm serious. There are people who think this way. They cry out. Oh, they say, yeah, I can relate to Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am. Now I walk after the Spirit. So now I can cry, oh, righteous man that I am. There are people like that. They've left seven. They're in eight. The problem is, the man in chapter 8 still cries out from chapter 7, oh, wretched man that I am. Still, yeah. Still, yeah. I'll give you pretty much a quote. I listened to the CD. I copied it down pretty much word for word. And you ought to get the CD if you get a chance. I'll let you borrow mine, but you got to give it back. Because I like listening to it every once in a while. But it's by D.J. Ward. Now, granted, D.J. Ward can get a little animated. Far more so than I do. And I don't know whether that's saying something or not, but I mean, he can get animated. But I like listening to him preach. in spite of his big chain and his cross. And I know it's going on the tape. That's all right. In spite of that, I can put up with a lot if a man's preaching the truth.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? I can hold back my self-righteousness. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Here's what he was talking about. Now, I think the title of the message is God's Choice or something like that, Chosen by God or something like that. He's talking about, you know, people hear the message, people may come to their assembly, and they just feel uneasy around all these church folk, all of these Bible believers, you know, and these people just pray, they pray, and they carry their Bibles to church, and you know, all of these people. And he said along this line, he said, this church is filled with former drunks. This church is filled with former drug addicts. This church is filled with former gross adulterers. And some of you this morning are wearing collars, white collars. Some of you are holding Bibles. And some of you are going to preach in the conference this evening. He said, but you tell the truth of God about the matter, you were fallen. You're fallen. He said, now, here you are fallen, and you claim to have a standing with God. He said, look at the pure, spotless mothers of this church. He said, one day all of these mothers were young girls. And the truth be known, we might as well just state it. While the truth be known, all young women are young women. And all young men are young men.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, well, in our generation... Yeah, right. Come on. I look at children now and I think, boy, I didn't do that when I was a kid. And I think you're sitting there and I think you're lying through your teeth, Walter Pendleton. You hit it. You may have hit it more than everybody else does today. You may have kept it hidden in the closet somewhere. No, he said, these young, you see these spotless, pure mothers of the church? He said, one day all these mothers were young girls. He said, you don't need to feel bad around this crowd. We know where the hideout is. We used to go there. We used to be a part of it. He said, nobody's going to bring bricks in here and throw up my young people. He said, because you know why? An apple can't fall too far from the tree.
Exactly.
And folks, I've been there.
Amen.
I've been there in the get a little high on your horse. Mm-hmm. Think you've learned a little. Mm-hmm. Think you've got a little grip on it. And then start looking down on everybody else. Boy, that poor old young, why does that young child do that? Why does that young man, that one young woman do that? Why? They're just like me in their heart. That's why.
That's it.
Just like me. He said, no, they're bad just like their mommies and daddies are bad.
That's it.
You see, we got to remember, we're born that way.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
We preach that, then we turn around and get angry at the kids when they live it. Right? Get angry at the young ones when they live it. He said, the problem with these young people today, they got their grandpa and their grandma in them. That's the problem. That's the problem. He said, grandpa and grandma been married 50 years. My oldest uncle Johnny's 57. He was a ring bearer to wedding. He said, something screwed there, ain't it? Something ain't right. It don't add up. Somebody was doing something they shouldn't been doing. Huh? He didn't say great uncle. He said my uncle, my oldest uncle Johnny. He's 57. He was a ring bearer at the wedding. Somebody said, don't say things like that. It's the truth.
Yes, sir.
It's the facts. Huh? Let me tell you something. Walking after the Spirit doesn't mean you don't sin. It means Christ advocates for you. He is your advocate. And when you sin, He stands in your stead, and He, by His Spirit, brings you to confess your sins.
Yes, sir.
Walking after the Spirit doesn't mean you're sinless. It means you are a confessor of your sinfulness.
Amen. Amen.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
And that's what John teaches.
Yes, sir.
1 John chapter 1,
yeah.
Right? Briefly, let's look at it. And for the sake of time, I'm going to have to listen. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, it says we do what? We lie and do not what?
The truth.
Now, what does the Spirit do? What's His major ministry? The primary ministry is to do what? Teach the truth,
yes,
right?
Sir.
To bring about the truth, to give testimony to the truth. It says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Somebody said, well, that means if you sin. Mm-hmm. Is that what this says? No, it means to walk in darkness. A person who walks in darkness thinks they don't sin. They have no concept of what sin really is.
Exactly.
If you're walking in the light, you know that you are darkness.
Yeah, exactly. Huh?
Look, but if we walk in, this is not just Walter's opinion. Look at what this says.
Yeah.
But if we walk in the light, so we're now talking about somebody that walks in the light, right?
Mm-hmm.
As He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, keeps us from sinning.
Oh,
is that what it says?
No.
It says cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
So a person who walks in the light not just can still sin, they will still sin.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know a lot of people say, well, you can't. No, you will.
Yeah.
Because if you say you haven't,
yeah.
Well, look, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And what's not in us? The truth is not in us.
Amen.
If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now there, verse 8, He's talking about, this is what I am.
Yeah.
If we say we have no sin, you see, I am shot through with the rot of sin.
Yeah.
I am capable of anything on the face of this earth.
Yes, sir.
It is within my nature, being born in Adam, to do anything. To be guilty of anything. And as a matter of fact, God says, I'm guilty of all anyway.
Exactly.
Doesn't He? He said, if you've offended the law on one point, you're guilty of the whole blessed thing.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least I don't do this. Yeah, but you did that, so God says you're guilty of everything.
Yeah.
Well, I might as well go ahead and do it all. Well, go ahead. Go on. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
See where you wind up.
Yes, sir.
But what else? If we say we have not sinned. You see that? If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. You see, walking after the Spirit doesn't mean you're sinless.
No.
If you're sinless, you're God.
Exactly.
And you ain't God, and I ain't God.
That's exactly right.
You know what? Even when we get to heaven, even when we get to glory, and we will then be perfect, the reality is we're only going to be that then. On this side of that, we are nothing but shot through with the rot of the Adamic nature.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And it rears its head up every little bit.
Oh,
as I said, I've had to change my tune on that one. Because, see, when you're younger, you think, you know, you fall, you stumble, you fall flat on your face. God lifts you back up and says, all right, I got that one.
Yeah.
I'll see that one coming next time.
Yeah.
That one won't get me.
Yeah.
You know what? God will bring it right up to your face,
yeah,
and you still won't see it.
That's exactly right.
I'm not talking about it coming up from behind, sneaking up on you. God will lay it right in front of your face, David,
yeah,
and you'll swallow it just as readily as you did the first time.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I said we learn. The only way we learn is when the Spirit teaches us.
Yeah, exactly.
And one thing the Spirit will never teach you is that you can be sinless.
Exactly.
If there's any spirit teaching you can be sinless, rest assured it's not God, the Spirit. It's Antichrist.
Amen.
It is the spirit that is against the truth of God.
Yes, sir.
Because the first time you begin to cry, you think you can go from old wretched man that I am to old righteous man that I am, you're deceived.
Yes, sir.
Period. Father, I pray You bless our fellowship together. May it have been a blessing to us and also encourage us to continue on, to continue to walk, to go forward in spite of our falling, our stumbling, our sins. Help us, Lord, by Thy Spirit. Move us, guide us, lead us. It's in Christ's name that I ask. Amen.